So in Ephesians, Paul said about that. Now, it says, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, in verse 11, being predestinated according to the counsel of him that worketh all things of the counsel of his own will. And then he says in verse 13, in whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth. Colossians tells us the word of truth of that hope that is laid up for you in heaven. He called it, Ephesians, the gospel of your salvation, good news. Now, this is what he's saying. If a man is living under the bridge, all right, in Lagos, and he's, you know, just going around looking for food and all of that, and one day some lawyers go and meet him and tell him that, chief, we have good news for you. He says, what's the good news? I say, look, your great-grandfather actually owned a lot of land in Lagos. The value of everything that he owns, that is still in his name, and he willed it, all right, through the generations, and you are the only survivor there, all right, child, all right, there's only one around who is his great-grandchild. So everything that he wrote in his will belongs to you. All right? So what are you talking about? He says, we have brought good news of your salvation. You don't have to live this way again. The man says, you must be joking. The lawyers open the document. He reads through the document. And he understands that he has obtained an inheritance. All right? Immediately, he becomes happy, joyful, gets out, and knows that his life will change. What Paul is saying is that in Christ, you have obtained an inheritance. This is the good news. Whatever situation you are in, you have obtained an inheritance in Christ. There is an inheritance that God has left unsearchable riches on your behalf that you can tap into to change your entire life. Now, he now went on and said, when you heard that God went further and did something, when you heard of the word of the truth, the knowledge of this inheritance, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, follow me, who is the foretaste or the earnest of the inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. What does that mean? I will explain in literally what he's saying. He says, after you put your trust, you are sealed. In other words, let's make it this way. There's a person who wants to buy a car. Now, what does earnest of inheritance mean? It means foretaste or guarantee for the inheritance, which means after you heard the word of truth, let's assume you are believing God for something, and the word of God comes to you, like it came to this lady, and you see your inheritance, that healing belongs to you. The minute you hear that word and a conviction comes in your heart, what has happened is that God has sealed that particular thing with the Holy Spirit, all right? And he is the earnest of that inheritance, which means foretaste, the guarantee of that inheritance. So, this is how it is. You see a car that is 42 million naira. You want to buy the car. You're going to the shop. I want to explain what this means. Seal and earnest. And you say, I want this car. Can you set this car aside for me? Which means seal this car as my own. This is what God did for you. You heard something, God sealed it. Can you seal this car as my own? The car dealer says, I can't, because there is no commitment. It's all right. I have 15 million. Can that be a first installment for payment for this car until I come to redeem the other 27 million? He says, that's good. The minute you give 15 million, he says, you have 30 days to come and redeem, all right, the other 27 million. He removes the car from the showroom, puts your name on it, and says, it's yours. Are you following what I'm saying here? Knowing that if you don't come to redeem it, to lose 15 million is more expensive. Do you get what I'm saying here? So you don't want to do that. You could as well have gone to buy a 15 million car and be driving it. So what God did is this. So that 15 million gives an assurance to the car dealer that this person is coming. So what he does is that he seals it. So what God does is this. When you hear a message, this is what happens. I'll explain something. You hear a message and you see it is the word of God, right? The Holy Spirit seals that thing inside your heart and he enters into your heart and becomes the earnest of the inheritance or the foretaste of the inheritance until there is a redemption of the purchased possession. Literally, it means until he redeems that possession to become yours. So what happens is, the minute you hear it, right, God, the Holy Spirit enters and bears witness with that word that that thing is your own. Now, understand this. Follow me, understand what I'm saying. How many people here have been to heaven? You've been to heaven. You came back. Nobody. Now, how many of you believe you are going to heaven when you leave this earth? All of you believe that. How do you know there's heaven? How do you know? I mean, I could have come to meet you to tell you that, look, after Echo Atlantic, there's this beautiful city. Nobody wants to tell you about it. Hey, it's paved with bronze. The gates are silver. Why won't you won't even get up and follow me there? You won't even say, let's start the car. Are you serious? Are you serious? Let's go. You won't. But you believe there is a place somewhere paved with gold. What made you believe? The minute you heard the message, the Holy Spirit entered and became the installment for that thing, which means he bears witness with your spirit that that thing is true. It is the witness of the spirit that is the earnest of the inheritance, which means when you hear on healing, he bears witness. And he says it is true, but he has a second work. He says this witness is like the 15 million. We now have to go and redeem the 27 million for you to be able to drive the car out. He's saying there's a work I will do beyond making you agree and believe in order for you to have the manifestation in your life. Do you understand what we're saying here? All right? Until the redemption of the purchased possession. Okay? So, you've never been. That is why I can tell you this. A born-again Christian, child of God, could have been praying for something for 10 years. They haven't gotten it. Why don't they backslide? The Holy Spirit has borne witness in their spirit that thing is true. They can look at the Bible and they know scriptures that tell them it's true. Now, what happens is that the Holy Spirit bears witness and it becomes an anchor to your soul and tells you that, look, this thing is true and this thing can be your experience. Now, this is where we miss it. That he comes and says, I'm guaranteeing. Every time you read it, he says in your heart, I'm guaranteeing this. I'm guaranteeing this. I'm guaranteeing. He's bearing witness. So people could have been praying. You say, how come people pray and they don't get it and they will still become church? And because there is something deeper. The same way, you know, the Bible says, you know, the spirit bears witness with your spirit, you're a child of God. He bears witness there. That is why the Bible says some people in Hebrews died in faith, not having received the promises. What happened was that the witness of the Holy Spirit was there, but they never got the manifestation. But he says, under the new covenant, whatever he witnesses, he will manifest in time. Do you understand this? Are you following what I'm saying here? So, when you hear the word of truth, there is the witness of the Spirit. And it's on the inside of you that this thing, that's why he talks about rejoicing. He says it's there, it's true. It's an anchor to your soul. You can't get away from it. It's there. Now, Paul now said, this is the key. This is why Ephesians 1:16 down is the most important New Testament prayer. He said, for this cause, for the redemption of the purchased possession, in order for the rest of the 27 million to be paid, that you might drive that car out of the showroom, and it's not just packed aside as your inheritance with your name on it, but you are now in possession of it. He said, I bow my knees to the Father of glory and Lord Jesus Christ, that he will give you the spirit of wisdom, which means the Holy Ghost will manifest himself as wisdom and revelation in the knowledge, that knowledge that you have, that the eyes of your understanding will be opened up. He said, once the eyes of your understanding is opened up, he said, you will be beholding the word as a mirror, and the spirit will translate you into what you are seeing inside that thing. Do you know what happens? Therefore, without this prayer, you teach faith to people. You know what happens? They walk anointed with spit and clay, but they will see men as trees. Until they have the second work of going to wash themselves in the pool called sand, will they see clearly. And it takes seeing clearly to survive the crisis. Because Jesus saw very clearly that he was going to the right hand of the Father. Moses saw clearly that this thing I'm living is going to collapse. Are you following what I'm saying here? He saw it. And so, every other thing on the outside did not count. Whether the wind was blowing did not count. Because he had seen. That's why that lady, can you see what she said? That's the spirit of wisdom and revelation. For you to say the first real estate transaction in the Bible, me, myself, where I teach her, I know Siam. She said, according to what you thought, I went to market. He said, according to 23:16, I set a price. That's the spirit of wisdom and revelation. That's why she came to a place where I was no longer anxious. Right? The Holy Ghost was working on the inside. Are you following what I'm saying here? So, with that in mind, you can see what James was now saying. He now quickly went on and said, all right, that lack wisdom, he said he will give unto you. Then he talked about this. And then he went on and said, don't get tempted. He said, wherefore, beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Don't start getting angry because you lost the 500,000 naira job. There is something else ahead. Are you following what I'm saying? There is something else ahead. That's why what you are confessing and believing God for, every day be praying that prayer of Ephesians. Every day be praying it. That God open my eyes. Because what's going to happen is that when he opens your eyes, you will start seeing things. You know, there's a woman I read again. Because a friend, I shared something. And when I shared this thing with somebody, it was Uvi, the pastor in English. He said, I see what you're saying. He said, Lil, your man said, I knew I was healed. I knew I was healed. She said, but I didn't have enough light to take it. So you know the car is yours, but you don't have enough to drive the car out. Do you get what I'm saying? So as you are there, a time comes. Let me tell you, the thing, look, you are looking at it. It becomes more real to you than this pulpit. It is as real as you see me this morning. If you leave here and I say, pastor wasn't in church, nobody can remove you. Ooh. You've got nobody can take that away from you. You saw me. If you heard my voice and you are outside, they might fool you and say there was a guy here who faked his voice. You might be like, but once you see me, you've seen me. That's why John said that which we have heard, which our eyes have seen, which we have looked upon, which our hands have now. Look at what he now went on. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness, superfluity of naughtiness, leave all those things. What you should do is receive with meekness the engrafted. That engrafted word means is the word that gave you that assurance. Start receiving it, which is able to save your soul. Don't be a hearer only, but a doer. A hearer beholds himself and goes. But a doer, he says, look at verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continues to look into it. So that wisdom is making you see it. He says, not being a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. Which means as you look into the perfect law of liberty, you start seeing yourself. You start seeing what you should do. There are things, you start rearranging things. You start seeing as you are looking into that perfect law of liberty. Then coupled with that, he said, do not have this faith in chapter 2 with respect of persons. Don't start gravitating, right, towards people you think, all right, can be beneficial. Don't practice this conviction. Don't err. That's what she was saying, that when that wealthy person came, she knew she was going off track. Don't go off track. Don't let the tempter pull you. Oh, say, I have an uncle. I have this. I have that. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Don't start allowing that to take you off, all right? Keep your eyes on the perfect law of liberty. Whatsoever you see inside that word that it tells you to do, it says it will speak to you about you going to help the fatherless. It will speak to you about you going to help widows, those who are in need. That's what it will tell him. Then he went on and said, look, if you do that, you have become a judge of an evil thought. He said, you have committed transgression. If you begin to gravitate and start saying, he said, look, God has chosen the poor in this world. And I was saying that's what Pastor Wushika said yesterday. Powerful thing. Right? Very powerful. Many people start a business instead of marketing to their contemporaries who will buy in the 5,000, 10,000. They say they are going to go and market to some big, massive company where the game they are playing there you can't understand. But you say this is, when he says don't despise their small beginnings, you consider that as nothing. She said that's what she did. That by the time, all right, she's a pastor, Shola David Bois, right, was in IMB, right? That's where they were banking officers, you market. As they were rising, her business was rising with them. As they were rising. She said, look, the person that does are here, she just went somewhere and saw some lowly person with a fanciful hairstyle. She asked, who did this for you? They told her. I said, go and get me the person. That's the person doing her hairstyle. You say, listen to me, until I do the hairstyle of this person, I won't do it well. This is just somebody. That's how God will bless you. Do you get what I'm saying here? All right? Kings talk to butlers to find out what to do. You don't know. Which means that the testimonies with butlers. Let me tell you this. When they want to make her decision, they ask Hillary Clinton, what was the secret to Bill Clinton's success? She said, we will finish a strategy meeting and my husband will walk out. And he will see a janitor and sit down with him. What will you do if you are in this situation? The janitor will give him common sense reasons and he will go and implement it as public policy of the most powerful government in the world. Listen, Herod was saying, I had a dream. All right? Herod doesn't have the contact. The poor people have the contact. Do you get what I'm saying here? He was a chief butler. But you see, when you ignore those people, when you go to an office, this is the mistake you make. You go to an office. An elderly man is there as the doorman and all that. Please move, move, move. Arrogance. Look, anybody that is like that didn't build anything. Let me tell you. They didn't build anything. Arrogance. Then you see the GM who is half the age of the doorman. Say, good afternoon, sir. How are you? The Bible says you have respect of persons. You are doing it for advantage. He said, love your neighbor as yourself. He said, look, I'm telling you that God has called the poor to be rich in faith. They are the ones who have the inheritance of the kingdom. That inheritance comes through poor people. Do you understand what I'm saying here? When two big men are talking, the driver overhears. When they finish, oh God, that thing where they talk. Where are they before? The company where they work. The one gentleman there, a very bright young man. Never did he fail. Say, are you serious? What's his name? Do you have his number? Make a check. Make a check. Ah, a number they here. Call him. That's how they get a big job. But when you are doing it, you say, who is this one? What is this among so many? What is this among so many? What is this among so many? Are you following what I'm saying? You don't know who is talking to who. You just walk past. Small boys. Small. How old are you? What do you know? What do you know? I'm going to the great men of God. Are you following what I'm saying here? That's why it says if you love your neighbor, which means the miracle is among your neighbors. He said if you love your neighbor, it is with your, it's around you that this thing is. If you are treating those who you have access to wrongly, they are the ones that will give you access to where you want to be. The king that lifted Mordecai, isn't it somebody that told the king? Is the chief butler. Why didn't Pharaoh ask assistant Pharaoh and deputy Pharaoh? Is the chief butler. You don't know how this thing works. Is the, you will find, you will not know that mighty decisions are made by small people. Because when a man trusts his driver, he can ask him any question. It says a secret here that look, this thing is locked up, so don't start gravitating. You know, you say we are part of the boys. We are their own boys. You are wasting your time. I know this person. I know this person. How many people do you know that know? What does it become? Nothing. It says it will be done. All right, we'll continue next week. But you begin, all right, to give, helping people, treating people right. Look, when God wanted to deliver them, he used lepers. When David wanted to recover, it was a broken man they left for nothing that showed the secrets. When Jesus wanted to enter a city, it was a harlot. 5 husbands. She said, come on here. That's how the city was opened. You say, no, we are going to Herod's palace. Don't forget this. When they entered Herod's palace, they didn't see the star again until they came out. Many of you have entered Herod's palace. Come out. Because once you enter, it says they will blaspheme the worthy name by which you are called. Do you know what that means? Accuse you of things you didn't do. Rail upon you. At your back, you will hear things they will say about you while you are trying to walk with the high and mighty. You think they don't know? When they talk about you behind your back, your body will come down. Take you before judgment seat. Threaten you with court. You do small work. They call EFCC. You say, yeah, EFCC. Are you from Australia? All kinds of things. Say, but if you love your neighbor as yourself. You understand this? If you love your neighbor as yourself, the people in this life, listen, that I give my back to, with money, with things there, are my junior workers. They are the ones. Yeah, well, that, in terms of, so if they come and tell me something, you are likely. These are people I'm saying, junior workers. Likely that they can influence. That is the way it works. I'm just sharing this as secret. When she was saying, I said, this is a secret of life. This woman is saying. Then you begin to hear your name in places. Who called your name? You don't know. It's some low person that said, let's come. You understand this? That's why one wealthy man went to his son. Daniel, when Nebuchadnezzar was about to collapse, Nebuchadnezzar, he's coming. He said, God has said you are finished. He went to meet Daniel. He said, you know secrets. How can I delay what God has said? Before you tell him, Daniel said, there's a way. God said you are finished. You should have been finished at 45. But we can delay it to 85. So you are only finished for 5 years. Instead of for 45 years of suffering. He said, what do I do? He said, go and help the needy. And be just in your dealings with people. Stop the sense. You understand? That's why I said the tempter will come to tempt you to go through a shortcut. But when you get there, you'll find out that maybe there are 20 of you that got there by shortcut. Even, I've said this before, even thieves that steal money, when they want to hide the money, they need an honest man. Can you imagine with this whistleblowing now? You know, you have to find a very loyal person. Even thieves require integrity. To hold the money. So integrity sells. You understand what I'm saying? So follow the path as God has shown you inside your heart. Be rejoicing. It won't take as long as you think. And don't forget, the miracle is all around you. Never fly away from it. Wealthy man said every time he will get on a train, he will tip $100 bills for small guys. His son asked him, why do you do this? He said, I found out most of my great breakthroughs in life came from these people saying something. So I scatter my seeds around them. I scatter my seeds. Because propensity of us is that we treat rich people better than poor people. If I tell you now, there's one rich man in your office who wants to, or somebody, you know, who is his birthday, you'll be thinking about present now. Thinking. If a poor man asks you for money, you just do like this. But the rich man that has it, you are thinking more. Do you get what we're saying? So in our nature, we gravitate that way. And it costs us. All right? And instead of us treating people equally and keeping that royal, they said that's the royal law when you're in crisis. The royal law is love your neighbor. As yourself. It's a royal. Everybody you see in your environment, treat them right. That's why when he was in trouble, Job, when he prayed for his neighbors, God turned his captivity around. So you are going to see the big man to help you. Meanwhile, the taxi man that dropped him, please. Do now you can be like this kind of stupid non-thing. Who is older than the man you are going to seek money from? And you think God in heaven has heard you and said it's okay. Angels are around. They've heard you. They say you are right. All right? Let me tell you. It's only rent. Go out. I tell people, you know this thing they say about police, but I've said this before. I told somebody, shared it with some leader in this church. I said, I tried it in America. It worked for me. I said, if you approach an immigration officer in the United States of America, once you get there, first thing you say is, good afternoon, sir. If it's a woman, good morning, ma. You say, why should I use ma? Every wealthy person in America, part of their culture is to talk to people in authority with sir or ma. They don't just say good afternoon. If Bill Gates there, he says good afternoon, sir. If they meet a policeman and they come out, the first thing they say is, sir. That is the culture that brought them to where they are. So the minute you say it, they know you know their culture. They step back. That you are one of us. They can trust you. But you go there, you think it's like Lagos. Please. What? For what? I got my visa. For what? I got my visa. I went through an interview. Go and check the law of visa. The law of visa says you have a right to stand before an immigration officer at the point of entry who has the right to accept or refuse you. That's what the law of visa says. It didn't say you have a right to enter the country. It says you have a right to stand before an immigration officer who will decide whether you enter or you go back home. So just know that such is the power. But there's some other, I won't tell you that one. Lie. There's one other sentence you say that they cannot stop you from entering. But we labored to get that one. So it's not free of charge. It's not, I don't say it. All right. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for your word. By the power of your spirit, we ask that you establish us in this truth and in all righteousness. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for watching.